Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda
to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. We're here yet again on the cusp of another final for Las Águilas del América. So we're going to get you guys ready. We'll talk a little bit about how América got to this point in this situation. And then, of course, we'll preview the upcoming final against Cruz Azul and what history reverts itself in, 11 years? So it's crazy. There's plenty to talk about, and I'm not alone to do so. Joining me today to talk about all things Club America in English, it is none other than Chris Rivera and returning guest, Mr. Brian. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
We good.
Okay.
I mean, I just woke up. So, like I said earlier, if I sound slow or dumber than usual, then because I just woke up.
All right. Well, looks like someone was resting for the big podcast ahead. Brian, how are things over on your side?
Not too bad. I mean, can't totally complain. América did what it needed to do, and then we got a final to play, so. Some good things, some not so good things, but at the end of the day, fighting for another cup.
This is kind of where this team needed to be, right? I mean, ultimately, it doesn't expunge the fact that this season ultimately still will be a little bit of a failure because the main objective was CONCACAF Champions Cup, right? And even winning this competition, this trophy, I don't think erases that completely, because a year from now, when we're all sitting in our couches watching this game, watching these Club World Cup games from our couches during the summer, we're thinking, oof, that really should have been us. But again, still, if you're trying to think about it on the positive note, it is América, again, at the cusp of a final, being able to kind of close out hopefully a very good soccer calendar year, and where you can lift not only two titles, but crown yourself as the best team in the league, even though the league already technically already gave you that status. But overall, kind of be, as far as league status goes, the most well-rounded team possible, right?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I think that would be great. Oh. Go ahead, Grace. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think the good thing about reaching these finals, right, and just being first place, reaching these finals, and even potentially winning them, is that you kind of feel this has been the thing for several years now, where we're first in the league and you don't win it, right? For so whatever reason, you fall out in the semis or in the quarterfinals. Instead, you're competing and now you're legit. You really are the best team in this league.
And I mean, let's talk about how América actually got to this stage. Because, Brian, I think that you and I and a lot of Americanistas maybe feel like this a little bit, is that this team definitely has not been firing on all cylinders. I mean, if you want to put it in layman's term, I think that this América side just entró de panzazo. Like, we didn't necessarily walk our way through to the final like we did in the Apertura. We definitely struggled in this one. And it seems like we just kind of got over the hurdle limping a little bit. I mean, I don't know if that's a fair assessment.
No, that's how I felt in the later stages of the CONCACAF Champions. I was telling, in the group, it felt like there was a workload management issue and certain players were lacking energetically throughout the series with Pachuca. And like you said, when it got back to the league, got through, got to play Chivas, and I still felt like a lot of that was still there. There was a lot of kind of like idea issues, identity issues, and overall sluggishness with the team. So I'm not as confident as I was a couple months ago. But at the end of the day, things change when you reach the final.
Yeah. And I mean, look, last season we were this great goal scoring team that kind of just waltzed their way into the final and just absolutely destroyed everything in our path, right? And in this instance, it's a little bit different, right? We've only scored three goals, in this Liguilla, which is pretty substantially lower than what any of us were expecting. I think what you were talking about, Brian, and the fact that there was like kind of this laziness approach for America in, I would definitely argue that we saw that in this semifinal against Chivas, right? In the first leg, looked very sluggish. Second leg, it looks like America kind of wasn't really trying to risk anything because they thought a 0-0 situation here still puts me into the final. And playing conservatively just doesn't feel like Andre Jardine's America side, to be honest. And I can get why it drains you a little bit and gives you a little bit less ambition of this America side being able to pull off the bicampeonato. It's because we've looked a shadow of ourselves from what we saw even a month ago, which is the crazy thing. Chris, is this dip in form something that we should all be kind of looking and worrying and kind of biting our nails at, that we're probably not coming into this game as favorites?
No, because I kind of view it differently. I mean, I agree. It's not necessarily us, right? It's like we are lacking that identity, but I do think it's more of an attacking thing. I think when you look at it from other positions, we're not necessarily playing that bad. It's just that once we get to the attacker, just like, you know, I believe it was the first leg against Chivas, Quiñones and Henry were like confused, like, oh, is that ball for me? Like, I'm behind you. That should go to me and stuff like that. Like, I think that's where it's kind of confusing, right? Where you're kind of like, man, you guys been playing. You guys have shown the potential last year and parts of this season. There's no reason for you guys to be confused. But I also think it's style of opponent, right? Pachuca, like I said, they pressured you. It wasn't 1v1 a lot of the times. And when it was 1v1, you saw that who had the superior players, right? Chivas, very similar first leg. Second leg, I think we need to highlight the fact that they needed to come to us. You know, I know what you're saying, you know, conservative. We should still look at this as a clásico. You heard the commentators, if you watch it through Univision, right? Carlos Reynoso was saying, Chivas is treating this as a clásico, America's treating this as another game. I didn't necessarily agree, but I understood what he was trying to say, meaning America's letting them do what they need to do, even though they're not doing it, right? Second leg, you see a whole different team. I think Chivas just, like I said, when they played that, they also played a very similar double team thing that Pachuca did, not to the extreme that Pachuca did. But I think the ugly moments for us was simply when they did that. Once they didn't do that, America looked different. So like I said, it's a different opponent. I don't think Cruz Azul is going to play like that. I think Cruz Azul is very individually. They're very individual when it comes to their plays. I think they do look for that, like I said, that individual play of I'm going to outshine you against your man. So I wouldn't worry too much, but I do understand where you're coming from, where it's like, hey, like, this isn't who you guys are. Like, you guys scored how many last season in Liguilla? You know, like, Henry, you look kind of ghost. Quiñones, you look kind of ghost. Valdez, you don't even look like yourself. Like, I understand where you guys are coming from. But like I said, it's style of team. I don't think Cruz Azul brings to the table what Pachuca and Chivas did. And I'm not saying that as in like they're a bad team. I'm saying that as in they're not going to pressure us. They're not going to play the numbers game. They're going to play their game. And I think that might be a plus for us because that kind of opens up the field for our individual play.
And I was thinking about exactly how we're going to kind of tactically line ourselves up against Cruz Azul. And we will get into that discussion a little bit further on to the podcast. But Brian, I think there was glimmers of what this America side could be throughout the league. Yeah? And I think the best America side we saw was probably the second leg against Pachuca in the first 35 minutes before we concede that goal against Idrissi. But again, you can't really aspire to much if your best minutes were only about 35 minutes in a series in where you've played over, 360 minutes in total. So
yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, there was a lot of better looks until that goal was scored. Again, you know, Pachuca was still great in that game. They're a very difficult team to play, and that's evident as to why they're playing in the CONCACAF Champions Final. But for me though, it's you can advance with a certain result, but the one thing that just frustrates me is that we are relying on that instead of just putting teams away. I don't want to hear about, oh, America, you know, the ref gave them 6 minutes even though they scored in the 93rd. So that's irrelevant. But I don't even want to get to there. I want it to be 3-1 when that 90th minute shows up. I understand, like I said, going back to, it's a long season. There was a lot of games. There's, you know, 3 games in 9 days and stuff like that. But going into a final, I was looking for more of that rhythm. If you're going to shift focus then right to the league, then I wanted to see a little more firepower out of them. I'm not saying that can't happen, and I actually do like this matchup better than Rayados, because I just feel like another final against Monterrey would just be mind games, you know?
Yeah.
Cruz Azul, I mean, there's been some good luck with America, and not good luck, but good results. So I like the matchup better, like Chris was pointing out to. But again, there was just sluggish play leading up to this that still lingers in my head.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a couple players that have been lacking for almost a month now, and their productivity on the pitch has just not been at all what needs to be. And I'm looking specifically at a player like Diego Valdez, who we said had to have the most influential playoffs in order for this America side to look good. Because it's as clear as daylight. When Diego Valdez is on, when he is playing, and when he's at his utmost best, this America side looks unstoppable. Like, passes are going to be made, channels are opening up, runs are being made. Like, it just feels like when Diego Valdez carries the team forward, things tend to happen for America. But Valdez has lacked just any presence at all. I think his first touch just let him down sometimes. I think he's been indecisive. I think sometimes he thinks that he needs to shoot when he can easily pass. And it's just a lot of frustration in that department because he kind of does hold the keys to the car. If that makes any sense, because it feels like we're on neutral and we're just kind of coasting by until we kind of hit an uphill or just somehow find a little stop on the road. And I don't know, I hope that when we come into this game, that it is a much different America side that we get. You guys mentioned about the line, about the fact that we're going up against Cruz Azul and how they're most likely looking at this one as they're going to come in, they're going to play their game. And they're going to do what they know how to do best. And they're not going to try to copy a Pachuca playstyle or a Chivas playstyle and try to kind of disrupt America that way. They're probably thinking, toe-to-toe, we can definitely go against these guys and we're much better than these guys. So we're going to play our game, meaning that we get to breathe a little bit and that we can go back to our basics and hopefully try to influence the game the way that we know how to. And I mean, we saw kind of how both of these teams pit against each other in the league. America did end up walking away with the victory, but it wasn't by the biggest margins. It was a 1-0 victory.
It should have been, though. Where
it should have been if you knew how to stay on sides.
I was about to highlight that. I'm glad you brought it up. 8 outsides. And remember, we weren't in our best form during that game either. I felt like they were probably favorites in that game. And that's probably one of those games where we should have scored 7. Like, not even kidding. Like, it was really it really crazy looking back, because I didn't remember about this game. I was like, we won like 4-0, didn't we? And then I looked up like 1-0. Like, that's, I don't remember 1-0. And then I just remember like it was a bunch of offsides, and like they scored goals, but they were all offsides. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, style wise, Brazil might be a little bit confusing, but I do think we might have not an advantage, but like I said, style wise, they're not going to be like Pachuca. They're not going to be like Chivas. They're not going to be physical. If it does get physical, it's going to be 1v1. It's going to be them doing their thing, us doing our thing. And I, like I said, I like the matchup. I like it a lot, because that's when you start looking at individual players, like who's better than who. And you look at their bench, and they're not necessarily stacked either. They're very similar to Pachuca. They have a lot of youngsters in that bench, but they use them differently. While Pachuca might not necessarily let them play, Cruz Azul will, and I don't think they have the highest ceiling right now.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, there's some optimism coming into this one that things can look a little bit different. I mean, you saw what this meant for America, not just for America fans, but for the players, for the coaching staff. When the final whistle blows against Chivas, you see the excitement. You see kind of the bench kind of erupting and celebrating, know that they're going into another final. I would have to imagine that this is a bit of a catalyst, Brian, that we could potentially see that America side. Again, just for 180 more minutes, you just have to push yourself and kind of go the long distance. And then afterwards, you can finally rest and you can finally relax, knowing that you did everything that you could have potentially done throughout this league campaign, and you got to the final and you played your best. I mean, that has to be something, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, going back to the length of the season, the amount of games, they can see the end is near in a good way. You know, it's finally coming, you know, to wrap up. You have a little bit of a rest. Here comes the next game. And and let's be honest, you're coming against an opponent that didn't have the game they wanted in the previous match. You know, that was very close way to get through. So you could assume that they're not 100% happy with that. And that can affect the mental state, you know, for your opponent coming into this. While on America side, you beat Chivas 1-0, didn't need to, you know, use any like specific rules to get through. You beat them straight up. So I think that is also an advantage on America side. So there are positives heading into this. And as we're stating, it's like you're so close to the end, and that rest is on its way. Just finish it out. Hopefully that's on their minds too.
I would imagine that it is. And I would imagine that it's something that kind of will motivate them. I don't know. I saw a little bit of a spark in Diego Valdez when the camera was panning towards him, when the final whistle was going to go, and after it goes and he celebrates and everything. And I focus on him because, like I mentioned, you know, this America side desperately needs him to wake up and play his style of football. And so I would imagine that, you know, this breath of fresh air, knowing that they're going into yet another final, just everything, all the narratives, Chris, coming into this one, right? Final game at the Azteca for the next 2 years, right? No more America in the Estadio Azteca. This will be kind of the closing ceremony, right? To end up with a high in that one and close it out. Like we mentioned, the long, long calendar year that has been America season, from the Apertura to the end of this Clausura. You mix in Champions Cup, you mix in a couple of friendlies. Like, there's been a lot of wear and tear on these players that you think that the mentality should be, all right, give it one real good go, finish off strong on a high, win a title, and then finally rest, relax, and just have peace.
Yeah, like you said, it's been a long season, man, and sometimes we came on here kind of tired, kind of wanting to get over with, you know. It's not like we're not passionate about it. It's just emotions are high, low. You see them play, you question if there's effort, you see the controversy with the whole trisecta thing, you see a bunch of stuff, and it's kind of like, we just want to get it over with. But we obviously want to get it over with being champions. It's not necessarily we're saying, oh, we want to just hurry up and get the transfer stock. No, we want to win, right? And
yeah,
I think the players do too. I think looking back, a lot of the stuff that was talked about, even us, about the whole the locker room, there's a crack and all that. Like, I don't, maybe that's just us over highlighting. And what I mean by us is, I mean, it's us as a fan base, us as a media. You know, the media even started saying, like, oh, there's groups, and they started naming players, and this side is this. This side. Like, I think sometimes people just love the drama and don't realize that, hey, there's arguments in family too. Sometimes it gets very heated. And they get over it, right? So, yeah. You know, I think that this team is united. I think they've gone through way too much to not be united. I think they're gonna show. I really do believe that. Like, I'm not trying to just be repeating the same thing, but this matchup just feels like this is gonna be an America side that we're gonna be just proud of. Yes, there's gonna be frustrating moments because it's a final, right? But I do think, like, they're going to show us, like, hey, all that stuff that was talked about in the media didn't matter. Like, this was simply a family thing, an argument that happened on the field, which I'm talking about Brian and Henry and Igor, and nothing, like, more, right? We got over it. You guys are still talking about it. We're focused on becoming champions and be campeón, right? Like, I still feel robbed of 2013, or was it 2013?
Yeah.
And I still feel robbed from then. So for me personally, like, I hope, you know, we get it done, and I could say I saw my team be campeón.
Yeah, that would be ideal, and I think that's what we're all kind of, you know, crossing our fingers and hoping that this America team can aspire to. If you had to kind of grade America's performance so far in the Liga up to the final, what would you give it, Brian?
Well, I mean, cumulatively with the Pachuca in Chivas, I would kind of have to give it. It's going to be offset a little bit. I'm going to give it a C+.
Okay.
Just because you had to rely on a 1-1 and a 1-1 to get to the next round. Yeah, definitely didn't need to rely on that on the second. And Chivas, I think, did look much better than in the CONCACAF Champions, except for the one match. I think they were more prepared. But I still think America could have done a 1-0, 1-0 in both of those. I think that would have made me more happy going into that to give it a higher rating. So it kind of offsets a little bit. So I'm going to go C+.
C+. Chris, what are you going with?
Yeah, actually had C+ as well. Very similar, but I also think you don't play those classical games as a classical, right? I think the Pachuca game, you have to just lower it down because of the error. I think you could have just won that game, right? I think like you said, when Igor makes that mistake, we're playing like really, really flawless football. And not, like I said, it's because they had to go and look for the result. Anytime a team, like I said last time, Pachuca, when they had an advantage versus Pachuca, when they had to go look for that score, were two completely different teams, right? And I think when you give up that goal, it was just like, now you're seeing the struggles all over again. And so that's why it's like, it's a C+. There's a lot of stuff that I like. Like the second leg against Chivas in the second half, I think, you know, that's what you wanted to see from the beginning. But the first leg was so ugly that it was just like, man, 0-0, we come out with an advantage. But why was that so ugly, right? Like, yeah, you get the clean sheet on both legs. Again, a plus, right? But you don't play it as a classico, and it's frustrating because what I don't know if you guys were ever told this, but my uncle always told me, it doesn't matter if Chivas is last place in America's first place. The Clásico doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter that the tables don't matter. What matters is it's a Clásico, and they could beat you any given day, just like you could beat them any given day, because that's what this, like, it's a passionate Clásico. So for me, C plus, like I said, just a C, but I think plus because I did see a lot of things, right? The clean sheets against Chivas is a plus, and the fact that you're able to push through against Pachuca when realistically, like a team like that really knew how to defend themselves throughout the whole tournament, really the whole season. I think you just have to, you know, you have to look at some positives at least, because we could be a little bit negative like we usually are, but I think we have to just, you know, I like that.
All right, C plus on both ends. I'm going C, kind of just echoing everything that you guys already mentioned. I just feel like it was very much a performance of like, I'm going to do the bare minimum and that should be fine kind of situation. Like, I'm not going to go above and beyond to kind of excel and achieve. The best way I can describe it, it feels kind of like a sophomore slump type of thing. You just, you know, you're just like, whatever. You're just kind of coasting by. That doesn't mean that's the America side that we're going to get tomorrow and on Sunday. But it did feel like, you know, we were running a little bit on fumes. Some of these players were kind of like, why am I going to go the extra mile? Let's just play smarter, not harder. It's kind of echoing everything that you guys already mentioned. So I'm going with a C. You guys were all a little bit more gracious with that plus, but I'll be a little bit more level grounded there and say a C. Dylan would always say C's earns degrees, and we earned the right to a final. So hopefully it gives us the opportunity to get to a big campeonato like we mentioned. We've already mingled about this game. Let's dive right into the deep nitty gritty of it. So this America side is most likely going to come out and I would imagine kind of rinse and repeat what we've seen in these past two Liguilla matches in the quarters and in the semis. And that's just kind of weather the storm a little bit and try to kind of win it at home. Is that a fair assessment to make? Do you guys all both feel like that's kind of the game plan here? Or do you think that America will even dare to risk to try to get a result at Estadio Azul? Let's just call it what it is.
I think that it really depends on what Cruz Azul side shows up. And that's the frustrating part, because I wish I could tell you, hey, we're going to go out and score, right? But it's the same thing as the Chivas game, right? Or the Pachuca game, where they kind of just waited. Okay, which side are you going to show me? And even though Chivas didn't really let us play our game in the first leg, I think they were like, okay, we're just gonna try to survive this, and win in the second leg. And I think Cruz Azul, like I said, they play more open. They just play a game that allows our players to just focus on themselves, not necessarily, you know, oh man, I'm pressured, I'm getting cornered, I'm going to pass back. And I think, you know, Cruz Azul is going to bring it to us, and I think there's going to be way too many openings for us to not, you know, try to take advantage of that.
All right. Brian, do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about the last time I was on. I think going into this, it goes back to the same player that we always talk about during the playmaking. America needs Valdez to be deadly. Like, I mean, and all across the board, one other thing that drives me nuts about the team is any shot outside of the area, I swear, just doesn't do anything. It's always above the crossbar. It's always wayside. Like, this team needs to really rattle, you know, the opposition. And I think that starts and stems with Valdez. I think there will be a feel period where you're going to feel like what Cruz Azul is going to do a little bit. And, but at the same time, basically man to man, I still prefer America going into this.
Yeah. And I think that's what Chris was also echoing, right? When you kind of start kind of matching up man for man, like for like, I do agree. I like our chances a lot more better in that aspect as well. I mean, I agree with you, Brian. There will be a feeling period, which I will imagine would be the first 25 minutes of the match. It's kind of America will weather whatever storm, if they get any, right? Because I would imagine Cruz Azul's going to do the same, right? It's a boxing match, like you always mentioned, Chris, right? It's jab here, jab there, and kind of feel out your opponent. And then from there, you see, okay, is he going to bite? No, he doesn't bite. Then I might as well go for the kill. So it'll be interesting to see the first opening minutes. But what will also be interesting too is if in those first opening minutes, you can kind of disrupt a little bit of their play and kind of get them on their heels a little bit, the way that you did in the game against them in the league, and you can somehow magically, and I truly do mean this by all sense, magically score a goal. I think that you're in the driver's seat at that point, and we've seen the America side, oddly enough, being able to manage games properly, at least. Whenever we did have an advantage, and what I'm thinking advantage-wise specifically, I'm thinking, you know, the second leg against Chivas, knowing that, okay, they have to come in, they have to look for the result. You can kind of push Cruz Azul towards that lane and you're able to manage the game, then I think we're going to see a much more better America side. But again, that's magically scoring the first goal in the first opening minutes, which, again, seems a little bit more not likely than likely. So it will be interesting. But AP Jr. saying, if Valdez plays as the playmaker and plays well, we're winning this one. It looks like AP Jr. is willing to.
Can I ask you something? Mm-hmm. Because you went to the game in Carson, which it's a friendly, right? But I do remember us talking about it, how they didn't treat it as a friendly, and Hidalgo came out injured in that game, and Sendejas came out injured in that game. And I want to know, what did you come out from that game? I know it's a friendly. You kind of just say, you know what? You kind of just take whatever they give you. They're not going to give you much. But do you think we're going to see a Cruz Azul similar to what we saw in Carson?
If I go and I revert myself back to that situation, there's two things that I walk away with from that game. And that maybe will be true to this final. One is that Cruz Azul is very good at what they do when they go forward and kind of throwing numbers forward and kind of putting you on your toes, because they did so, and they caused America a lot of headaches, right? Granted, it wasn't our first starting 11, but still, you know, they cause trouble, and they have some pace, obviously, with Antuna, right? But the second thing is that we can score goals on them. We can score plenty of goals on them. Like, this is not a team that is going to get like a shutdown on us, because you saw it in the leg in the game against them in the league, is we found chances, we just didn't know how to stay onside. And in the game against them in Carson, America scored first. America was kind of in the driver's seat. America kind of put them on their heels, took the game to them right away, opened up the scoring, had a couple of chances that they missed, but they looked good. They looked really good when going forward and kind of attacking Cruz Azul. And Cruz Azul left spaces just because of how naturally they play. They play pretty up. And so I think if I'm walking away with two things, is that they are very dangerous when they go forward, but this is a team that America could definitely score a lot of goals on if we're on one that night.
So
I hope that answers.
So with you saying all that, how confident are you in our defense, which has been very, very solid this Liguilla, right? And the whole season, but this Liguilla, they've been special, right? Especially not having Cáceres out there. How comfortable are you playing that numbers game? If they do play that numbers game, right, which is press up, have probably more attackers on us than anything, are you comfortable with your Israel Reyes, your Igor, your Ramon Juarez, and your Chicote, which I'm most likely going to be starting?
Oof. The short answer is yes. Yes, because I feel like they're riding on a high. You just shut out Chivas twice, once in their stadium, once in your house. But let's not kid ourselves. It wasn't the best performance ever. I mean, they got a crossbar shot away, right? Malagón wasn't really tested as much. He didn't have to make this high-profile save. But that's only because the ball inched a little bit wide this way, a little bit wide the other way. Do I feel confident that they can get the job done? Yes. Would I feel even more confident if we had a fully healthy Sebastián Cáceres playing? Absolutely. I feel like this would definitely be in the bag. But I do think that this defense is still prone to making a little bit of hiccups here and there. Not to say that they can't clean it up in the moment, but this is a Cruz Azul side that I think will punish you if you give them anything to work on, work off of. So, kind of like 70-30. So, yeah, I guess in a favorable way. But there's that little bit of doubt in my head. But it's not to say that our defense is bad. I mean, Igor has stepped it up significantly. Ramón Juárez has been spectacular when called upon. It's just something I feel like there still has to be that chemistry that isn't quite necessarily there yet. But Ramón Juárez is a very, very good, capable defender. And hopefully in these games, he can step up and make that leap into just kind of this absolute monster of a defender. So we'll see. But let's talk predicting lineups now that we kind of mentioned the back line, right? We're obviously going to have Malagón in goal. On the right-hand side, it has to be Israel Reyes. Kevin Alvarez is out for the remainder of the season. Finally getting that that surgery, Brian. I would think 3 months late, no?
Yeah, that was frustrating because like so much we're waiting on to hear, you know, what's the real deal with the injury? Is he going to be able to come back and what he's going to look like? And then, you know, then we just get the news or, you know, it's over. It's just, it just was bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't think that was handled in the best way possible. But I mean, because of that, Israel Reyes, of course, continues in that right back spot. We mentioned, right, the center back partnership of Igor and Ramón Juárez. Cristian Calderón, of course, the left back. In the midfield, you have Álvaro Fidalgo and Jonathan Dos Santos. That's not going to change. With the center attacking mid being Diego Valdez. We talked about how he needs to be super influential. On the right-hand side, Alejandro Sendejas, nothing moves there. On the left-hand side, of course, I think it has to be Julián Quiñones. Hasn't had his best Liguilla with us, even though he did score that game winning goal against, it wasn't even a winning goal, it was a tying goal, but still the goal to put us into the next round against Pachuca. And then, of course, up top, Henry Martin, who I think is still a little bit in debt with himself and with the fans as well, because I don't think it's been his best Liguilla either. But again, it's not, well, he did have a couple of services to him against Pachuca. Just the goalkeeper did a really good job at saving them. So that's the starting 11. Do you guys move anything from there? Would you even dare try to be adventurous and even try to shift anything around there?
The games that we did do that, we weren't ourselves, right? When you put out Javairo and Sendejas, it's just like, I understood what you were trying to do, but let's be honest, it's very, like, Sendejas, you have to put him on the right. You just have to at this point. And Javairo, it's not that he played bad, but it was very confusing to me. You put him out there and you don't play the ball on his side at all. So I think you have to have Quiñones out there. You have to have Sendejas on the right. And I think that increases I think you lack a little bit playmaking because that is what Javairo was bringing to the table when he was out there. But you do bring in another goal scorer, which is something we've been lacking, right? And I think Quiñones and Henry, if they're in the area and it falls to one of them, it's most likely going to be a goal. So you have to just play with your starting 11 that has always been key, right? And Israel Reyes, for all the criticism he's gotten for playing as a right back, I think some people might even argue he might be one of the best Mexican right backs right now. And that's saying a lot. Stretch. I mean, is it? I mean, look at every Mexican right back. And you're going to sit here and say,
I don't know. A couple of fanboy accounts on Twitter would say that Julian Araujo has that place locked.
Well, no, that's for sure. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best, but I'm saying after that, like, I'm taking him over Jorge Sanchez. I'm taking him over Mosso because Mosso sucks defensively. Like, I don't care how much he crosses the ball. He just, you know, defensively he's bad. And after that, like, Kevin Alvarez is hurt. So who else, you know? So I would. I think he's right there. He probably is one of the best right backs. And offensively, he stinks, but defensively, he's really solid.
And I mean, we'll see what that America side looks offensively speaking. But I mean, in the defensive side of things, he does give you that peace of mind knowing that, all right, he's kind of gotten better at understanding his position in that area. So we'll see what comes to fruition there. Gentlemen, this is a weird one. I mean, on one end, we're talking about an America side that has been lacklustrous and has looked flat and running on fumes. But yeah, on the other side, we're also talking about how this is probably the first matchup that we're finally going to have and where a team is going to let us play our style of football and all we have to do is manage their style of football rather than having to kind of rinse and repeat and play against a team that's going to come and hit you and, you know, man mark you with three players and close spaces like that and kind of drop back. It's weird. It's hard to kind of put myself in a situation where I think, okay, this is, you know, a really, really good outcome that America has and you know, trying to balance the negatives and the positives. Where do we land on more on the side of, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready. Let's play this final. Or are you leaning more towards the, oof, I don't know, man. It's been a long season. Kind of don't know where we're going with this. I just kind of wanted all to be done and dusted with. And then we'll see what happens come summer.
I mean, I think everybody's ready to just get this rolling. You know what I mean? You finally made it to one of your goals, so that you made it to the final, you get to play an opponent that matches up pretty well with you. I think, again, I'm not happy with how everything played out. I do have more optimism. We're going to find out in the first 45 minutes. Like,
yeah,
that's really going to be it. If they get scored on or they're super lethargic, that's going to be some red flags moving forward because then it's like, where do you go from here? This is a strong lineup. He's got you. Here's your playmakers. And if you're not doing it, which I will believe is a more open game, then there's a problem. However, it could be on the other end where it's they're getting those dangerous opportunities and maybe get a goal. And you know, then it's just a snowball effect. So I think that first 45 is really going to tell us everything.
All right. Well, hopefully it's a positive 45. Chris, let's rewind the clock, the years actually. 11 years since America has played against Cruz Azul on May 23rd and May 26th, back where the famous Moises Muñoz header goal was deemed iconic and forever immortalized in the memories of Americanistas. How crazy is it that we're playing against them yet again? In the same stadium, first leg, second leg, same days. I don't know if the same times. I didn't go back and do that much extensive research. But still, it's got to be crazy, right?
I was kind of laughing to myself not that long ago where I was like, man, there's people that have only seen us play win finals against Cruz Azul and Tigres. Like, I'm old enough to win as a Necaxa and Tecos game, and I'm sure there are people like, what? Those teams made it to a final? Like, that's crazy. But, like, there are people that only know beating Cruz Azul and Tigres in a final, bro. So, it is crazy. Crazy coincidence. And I mean, hey, hopefully it's not as stressful as that one night because
boy.
I've told the story on here before. It wasn't that game. It was an Interliga game where I gave myself a fever, bro. That's how stressed I was. I don't know if you guys remember that Interliga final where, and it's cool looking back because the winner of that tournament gets a Copa Libertadores spot So, like, it's cool looking back, but I got stressed over a game like that. Just imagine, like, a final like this against the Cruz Azul, and you know,
yeah, no,
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. Like, that's like, I know it doesn't necessarily sound like, oh, we're stoked and all that. No, we are. I am. I'm very nervous. I'm very hyped. I came on here and said, hey, Cruz Azul isn't the rival that we once. I've questioned that rivalry before. I've been loud about it. Yeah. So, like, for me, like, does history repeat itself where we're always beating them? Or do they finally get one on us? Like, for us, there's a lot on the line if we're being honest with each other. There's people out there questioning Chivas for this matchup. They're saying, hey, that Cruz Azul is always in the final. Meanwhile, you guys aren't even in the top five since short seasons, right? And I've said it. Like, I said it on Twitter. Chivas are like the Celtics. Yeah, they have all these championships, but they won it when it wasn't even, like, you know, it was like early on. They stat at it and completely ghost. And Cruz Azul has been consistent. Yes, they haven't won many. They have won in CONCACAF a lot. They've won in Copa MX. But when it comes to league, yeah, they do have that bad luck. They win against Santos, cool, but it's still like you're facing America, right? So there's a lot on the line. There's narratives that are either going to die or continue. There's even other teams that are going to be affected by this. What happens to Puma, right? We're having completely different perspectives. We're talking about bicampeonatos. I'm old enough to remember when they were bicampeones. What happened after that? You know, like, there's a lot on the line when it comes to this game. And I'm excited. I'm hyped. I think Cruz Azul hates us. Their fan base envies us. I think we just got to show them why they have that feeling. You know, because, I mean, we've all spoken to a Cruz Azul fan, and they always have that Ochoa this, you guys buy the Revs, the Televisa. we've all had those conversations with a Cruz Azul fan, right? Now, like, absolutely, let's show them why we own them. And I'm saying this, like, from a motivational standpoint to hype everyone up. Like, hey, let's get hyped. This is a team that we always beat. They always bring it to us, you know, respectfully. I'm hyped. You know, I'm nervous and I'm hyped for this matchup.
All right. Brian, you sharing that optimism or in that same nervous category as well of this game, or are you kind of more like, ah, let's see how this goes?
I'm not nervous.
Ryan is made out of stone, all right? Nothing's moving him.
I'm just more ready to watch. Like, you know, yeah, it's basically, I want to see what are they made of? I mean, did you go through that long season, a lot of ups and downs and you know, all these checks, you know, mentally and physically, are you really able to pull this off and win two in a row? I mean, like I said, like, it just goes back to what we said. Player to player, we look really good. I'm not nervous though. I just, let's get rolling.
Love it, love it. I wish I was as rock solid as Brian. Just nothing moves him. Not even the wind. AP Junior saying I'm nervous. So it looks like someone's sharing in your nervousness with Chris. Midwestern Cholo saying, I think this rivalry is second to Chivas. That's just my opinion. It's a pretty good opinion to have. I mean, look, I feel like we've been a little bit of a Debbie Downer throughout the podcast just because of the way that we've been talking about how this America side has gotten to the final. But yeah, let's just remember that this is yet another final. This is an objective that America had proposed itself and is achieving. And we've been in this situation before, not just playing against Cruz Azul, but being kind of back-to-back final situations, right? And so I think that there is a lot of, like you mentioned, Chris, narratives that are being talked about. There is a lot of, you know, things that are riding on this, that are hinging on this. A lot of players most likely saying their goodbyes at the end of these 180 minutes. The fact that you're closing the Azteca down for 2 years, the fact that there's just so much things revolving around the institution and the club. I mean, there's and the endless amount of hours of discussion here that we can dive into. But at the end of the day, it is another final. It is an opportunity to engrave yourself into the history books and to kind of go back to back. And just kind of highlight someone. I mean, look, Julian Quiñones, right? Went back to back with Atlas, now can have the opportunity to go back to back with America. I mean, kind of everything that's kind of surrounding that situation. It's nuts. It's crazy. And I do want people to be excited. And I do want there to be this hype. And hasn't necessarily hit me just yet, but I know tomorrow after, as soon as I get home and I turn on that TV, it's like instant. Just like a switch goes on and you're like, okay, it's game time. You focus and you're worrying and you're thinking and you're watching and you're in frustration. You're throwing the remote to the TV and you're saying, why can't you give a good pass? But it's just the emotions and everything that rides with it. So I am looking forward to this. I am really, really excited. And hopefully America can kind of give us that glory yet one more time. And then finally, we all take that deep breath and we can all just kind of unwind and relax. Because I think we all need it, fans and the players. So AP Jr. saying, Brian, never change. I don't think he ever will. AP Jr. saying, questions. So where are going to play? I'm assuming he's saying, so where are we going to play? Oh, when the Estadio Azteca closes. Officially, it's going to be the Estadio Azul. Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes. They came out already and said that the majority of the games are going to be there. That's still ongoing conversations. And whenever we do have kind of concrete information, we'll let you guys know. But that will be for next season. Right now, don't even worry about what we're going to play. Let's all focus and dedicate our kind of attention to the final. With that said, gentlemen, I want your predictions for the first leg against Cruz Azul tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, TUDN. What is your guys' prediction? Chris, I'm throwing it to you first.
1-1.
1-1. I can definitely see that. Brian?
I'll be a little more optimistic. I'll say 1-0, America.
Oh, my God. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I don't think we're going to get that, though. I'm going with a 0-0 just because of the way that the America side has been going and everything to play for at the Estadio Azteca, making me even more nervous and making my stomach turn. I'm not going to be able to eat on Sunday. I'll tell you guys that much. Who has to be the standout player that is not named Diego Valdez? Because I feel like we mentioned him so much. But who has to be the standout player for America? I don't care if he's a starting player or if he's coming off the bench to make an impact. But for you, who has to have the game of a lifetime against Cruz Azul in these two games to kind of crown ourselves be campeón? Chris?
I'll give you two names because I was thinking of one, but I think he's too dependent on Diego Valdez, which a lot of our attackers are, if we're being honest with each other. But I'll give you Fidalgo and I'll give you Sendejas, and here's the reason why. They're the ones that are going to have the ball on their feet majority of the time we have the possession, because you've seen it throughout the season. They play to Sendejas' side all the time. He rotates to the middle almost all the time. He drops down to defend. Fidalgo, You need him to be the one pushing forward because that's where it starts. If there's a counter, it starts with him. I think you need both of them to really be key if the offense doesn't click, right? If Diego Valdez doesn't show up. Because if Diego Valdez doesn't show up, guess what? Quiñones isn't showing up and Henry not showing up because we've seen it, right? We've seen that they're too dependent of Diego Valdez. But rightfully so, right? That's the 10 spot. That's the 10 position. That's the what we grew up as kids saying, I want to wear number 10 because that's what they do, right? They're the key player. They're the star player. Maybe yeah. It's not the similar nowadays because the game has changed completely to when we were kids. But nonetheless, this America team is very dependent on their 10. So if it's not your 10, who is it? It has to be Fidalgo. Like I said, possession-wise, he has to win everything and he has to go forward because if he has a good game, it does activate Diego Valdez to an extent. And Sendejas, like I said, he's all over the place. He needs to win these battles that when he drops down, when he goes center, when he plays wide, we see him become more of a goal scoring threat. So hey, why not those two players? I know you wanted one, but to me they're both are engines in different ways. And if Diego Valdez does go ghost again, well you need both of them to really feel the pressure in that field.
All right. Okay. Two good shouts right there. Brian?
I also will do two players, but on the opposite sides. One, Ramon, being a younger player, starting to cement his name in this lineup. I think he's been great ever since that Argentina back-to-back series where he played the second game. I think he's been great since then. He showed some emotion and fire in the last game. This is his chance to be like, I've arrived, and there's really no question about it. Second is in the attack. It's going to be Quiñones for me. And the reason being is he has got to stop this thing he's been doing lately where he tries to absorb a foul instead of just making the move when he receives the ball and keeping the flow of the counter going. I don't know why he's been doing this so regularly, but if he can really get the flow of the game going, I think he's going to be very, very deadly for America, or he can slow the game down. And honestly, just absorbing a foul gives us a foul, but it sets everything back. So I don't want to keep seeing that. Once in a while, I understand, you know, we got possession, we got a lead, take that foul. But I mean, to generate offense, I want Quiñones to be quicker when he receives the ball, get the ball off your feet, get in that open spot, and maybe he'll create his own luck and get a goal like he did against Pachuca. I mean, that's what I would like to see, but I don't want to see kind of a lethargic lack of idea Quiñones.
All right. I agree. The $15 million man needs to step up and hopefully perform to a standard. That too. And look, and we won't touch upon transfers and because there's a lot of stuff that broke today, just because I want to focus so much on the final, but we'll be back next week regardless. And we'll talk a little bit about that, hopefully after a celebration. But two good shouts right there and two good shouts from Chris. On my end, I guess I'll go from your furthest guy up to your furthest guy down. I'm going with Malagón as one. I know I said one, but I guess we're both picking two. Just kind of, you guys already did that. So I might as well follow the train. I'm going Malagón in goal. He had an exceptional final against Tigres, came up with a super huge save with that Gignac header when things were still 0-0. I expect him to have another clutch game, whether it's the first leg, whether it's the second leg, he needs to step up big. And so, you know, it's a big year for him, right? It's a year in where he's kind of taking over the role of not just Ochoa from America, but now Ochoa in the Mexican national team as well. And so there's that added pressure. So I feel like you really need to kind of step up into the moment and kind of come out of that shadow. And I mean, Bicampeón can definitely help in with that argument. And so, yeah, he's had an exceptional season. I think he's been the best player that America has had year round with the start of the Clausura to the end. The only thing that frustrates me, and it's so frustrating, is the fact that his distribution sometimes is absolutely terrible. Just god awful. Like, whether it's ball at his feet or whether it's him distributing with a punt or with his hands, sometimes the ball just doesn't land where it needs to be. And I think that's the one thing that kind of holds Malagón's game back a little bit, is the fact that his distribution is not that good. His footwork is very decent, but it's just his distribution, I think, needs improvement in that sense. So I need to see a little bit of a better distribution game from him, because sometimes we're giving the ball away very prematurely to the opposition because of that. And instead of America being able to reset or kind of think about a counter, now they're thinking, oh shoot, now we got to revert back into defense mode. And so I think Malagón needs to have a big game in that aspect, not just because he needs to make some big saves, but because when he does play out of the back and when he does have to kind of distribute the ball, he needs to make sure that we're not giving away possession, rather we're retaining it. And then the man up top, Henry Martin, he needs to come to life. And I know that it's a little bit difficult when you're a striker not getting any distribution or any balls service, But this is a Henry Martin that knows how to play with his back to goal. He knows how to distribute. He knows how to play passes. He knows how to make runs. Some of the things that we always highlighted Henry for was the dirty work he does off the ball. And so I need to see that again. I need to see that intensity. I need to see him kind of driving defenders a little bit crazy. And so I just need him to step up and have a big game, have a big series, and score a couple of goals, right? I mean, he's not known for scoring goals always against Cruz Azul, but he is known for scoring goals in Clásicos. And so Henry always loves himself a goal in the Clásico, and I'm expecting him to hopefully net one against Cruz Azul and hopefully be maybe the winning goal that lifts up the 15th. So it will be interesting. Should be fun. But that is my players to watch in that sense. All right, gentlemen, going off of your guys' base prediction, talk to me about the second leg briefly. What is your prediction in that leg against Cruz Azul in the Estadio Azteca? Is it glorious glory, or what's it looking like? Brian, throwing it to you first.
I think it's going to look like the last time they won in Azteca against Cruz Azul. I think that's, if you're going off of my first prediction, 1-0 on the road, I think that carries over. Score prediction, I'll be more like a 2-1, but
okay.
You know, in terms of controlling the game, the better flow of the game, better possession, better attacking threats, I think that's going to carry over in Azteca. Because, and like you said, there's a storyline to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris, prediction.
I was thinking 3-1, but I wanted to throw this, since we're talking about past games. How funny would it be if Ramon Juarez scores 2? If it's like an Edson Not About This type moment.
That would be absolutely amazing, because it would, like Brian said, it would absolutely cement him as the starting center back for next season.
Yeah, it's, and especially with the whole Igor thing, which isn't official, might be, rumors going on there. But I like Ramon. I think he does need to get a little bit stronger, because there is moments when he faces taller strikers, right? But I like him. My prediction is 3-1. I think there's one thing that I see from Cruz Azul that I see in Chivas, and not necessarily recently, but in other games, they could get very emotional. And I think we've seen it in season, right? One of their assistants tried to fight one of our assistants. The game against in the friendly, they looked emotional to me. I think they're an emotion-driven team. And I think when America wants to, they know how to pick at them, and they know how to get under their skin. And that's usually when their coaches are going to lose it. Their players are going to lose it. I think they're going to bring it to us. Like I said, I do expect them to bring it to us. I think once they lose their head, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm depending on a red card, right? I'm not depending on that. But I do think if one hits in the first leg, they're going to just, lose it. That's how I see it. I think they're going to just forget that they need to try to win this game, and they're going to just allow us to continue to score. So I got a 3-1 in the final.
All right. 3-1. I would absolutely love that scoreline prediction. I would love to sit here and say 3-0, but it's not going to be me today. It's going to be a 2-1 on my department, however that goes and however that may look. But I do hope and I do think that America is capable of winning and lifting the 15th, the Bicampeonato, everything that rides along with it, right? The glory and everything. So, yeah, I think America is capable of doing this. I think that America can go out there and America can win. And hopefully it's with Chris's prediction, whether it's mine or Brian's prediction of a 2-1. Regardless, a scoreline in where America wins is all that matters. Chris Ramirez is saying 1-1 in the first leg, 2-1 in the second. We'll see exactly how that does come to fruition. AP Jr. said 0-0 in the first leg. Would be interesting to see what he says about in the second leg. But yeah, gentlemen, a lot to play for here. Like we mentioned, a lot of narratives, and now it's just game time. we're less than 24 hours away from seeing the kickoff at the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes. And then, of course, Sunday will be the big one, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern, will determine the fate and the glory of Las Águilas del América to close out the calendar year. So let's, the soccer calendar year, excuse me. But yeah, let's see what happens. Let's hope for a good game. Let's hope for an exciting and thrilling final. But most importantly, let's hope and pray that América walks away with that title. With that said, is there anything else you guys want to add on before we wrap it up here?
I'm all set.
No, I think what we're going to cover just this, we're set. You know, it's, I'm excited, nervous. I'm both, right? Because I think, like I said, there's a lot of narratives on the line. And it's a bicampeonato. I really felt robbed. Years later, in the moment, I didn't feel that robbed. But years later, I did feel robbed in the 2013 final against León. And I think this America team, even though they are playing to an extent tired, they're not necessarily, how do I say it? It's not killing a momentum, right? That team got, you know, their momentum got killed. And they didn't travel all the way, you know, to New Zealand or what was it? Yeah, New Zealand. There's really no excuse, right? There's no excuses for us not to win this game. I think with best matchup, I think it's timing. I think there's a lot of highlighting of how bad we've been playing. But hey, not that long ago, I saw a Tigres team that looked super old beat Chivas. You know, they came back from a 2-0 score and they end up becoming champions. So for me, if we play ugly, we play frustrating, honestly, the results is the most important. Because years later, I'm not going to sit here and be like, man, we won the most boring final. I'm not going to complain. Hey, bro, we won the 15, we campeón, we're cool, I'm chilling. You know, so all I care about is the win. And like I said, if they play sloppy or they play perfect or they play half and half, you know, the most important thing right here is becoming champion. And after the game, if we raise the title, everything I complain throughout the game is irrelevant, you know. And if we play perfect and we lose, then I'm going to sit here and be like, what the hell happened, you know. So, yeah, I saw Tigres win an ugly final. I'm okay with us, you know. I'm not okay, but I'll accept it, you know. I'll be like, okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, kind of like AB Jr. saying, a win is a win. And hopefully that win lifts us to 15th. All right, gentlemen, that wraps it up for us. And another final to cover on the podcast. So we're very grateful that you guys have tuned in and given us the opportunity to talk to you guys a little bit about this one. And hopefully next week we come back and talk and we all are celebrating yet another glorious final victory. And hopefully it is exactly what we all picture at the end of the day. So, like AP Jr. says, vamos America a chingarle y por la 15. But that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. Thank you to you guys, gentlemen, Brian, Chris, to the chat, AP Jr., Jershon, Chris, Midwestern Cholo, everyone. Thank you guys so much, Luis. Really, a great, great overall year. Guys, we're almost done. Just got one more weekend and we can call it a season. So thank you guys again. Like I said, you guys have a good night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.